Okay, everybody, welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. Today we're doing episode number 2 in the My Awakening interview series. What I'm basically doing is reaching out to different people in the truth community. Obviously, some people like today's guests I already know. Other people are people I just know through Facebook or YouTube, or they might have a channel, or they do research I really appreciate. Just open-minded people, and just kind of get everybody's story. Not specifically on any one topic, so this is for everybody. Whether you're into 9/11, you're into looking into NASA, you're into looking into false flags, chemtrails, whatever your thing is, it doesn't matter. We're just going to get everybody's personal story, how they came to it, and, you know, we're just going to go from there, and their whole timeline of events and stuff they went through. So the first episode you guys heard, we posted a week ago. Today's actually July 18th, 2018. Something I should get in the habit of doing is leaving the date on my shows, because I've never done that, and it would be helpful to people. We did an interview with Paul Knight, and today we're going to do James Sloan. James Sloan is calling in from New Zealand. For those of you that listen to my show, the Dose of Reality radio show, you'll know that James Sloan is one of the co-hosts of the show. So I've known James for about 8 years or so now. But, you know, I'm sure that'll come up in the conversation. So we'll get back to that later. So, James, how you doing?
Doing well.
Good, good. Glad we could get this interview in today. Got a bunch of uploading a bunch of content lately, so this is good. I think people are really going to like this series because it kind of mixes it up. All everybody has their own path that they took to where they're at now, and like I already know that yours is going to be different than our last guest, and the guest I have scheduled for Friday will be different from that. So let's just start. And you know, people use the term awake a lot, or woke, and you know, those terms kind of just like other stereotypes, they not stereotypes, but other catchphrases, they have kind of a stigma that follows them. I'd rather be more specific. When did you first realize that, for the most part, you know, whatever the government tells you and whatever the media tells you is complete bullcrap?
Well, it's going to be... The hardest part about this interview is going to be condensing a 14-year journey into an hour. But, yeah, I mean, it was a slow, gradual process. I mean, the event for me was 9/11, obviously, as it was, I think, for you and a lot of other people. We're seeing different journeys now, which is probably why we need to do interviews like this, because we're seeing people who have got to this through a slightly different route, possibly... Yeah. I'm not sure about you. I'm not sure about your last guest, but we're seeing people now who, back when I got into this, and even back when you got into it, people were following probably the same trajectory. But for me, it was 9/11. I was 12 on the day of 9/11. So, of course, I swallowed the official story, hook, line, and sinker. And I think you'll be hard pressed to find any 12-year-old around the world who didn't.
Unless their parents were
awake, or someone was spoon feeding them information. You see, the 9/11 truth movement didn't come about until really about 3 or 4 years after the event. It didn't become mainstream anyway. But for me, it was towards the end of 2004. So I believe the official story. I was always obsessed with 9/11 because it was the most. It was the biggest event of my lifetime up until that point, and I would dare say it still is. Even I mean, I'm 29 years old now. Mm-hmm. I was, as I said, 12 on the day, but I would say 9/11 was the most documented event of my lifetime for sure.
Oh, I would say that that's what people say it is worldwide. They say it over here. They say it everywhere. They used to say that probably, the moon landing wasn't that documented, actually, but there was a lot of circus around it. But the 9/11, there's just so much footage of it, you know, and we can get into what that footage represents later. But, I mean, there's just tons and tons and tons of footage. I would say it is the most documented event ever.
Yeah, and... And it was all around the world. The world's media pretty much stopped for, I would say, about 2 years, or at least a year and a half. They didn't talk about anything but terrorism. And it actually, funnily enough, stuff. There was some resentment around World Idiot, just for sort of, I mean, this is obviously from people who believe the official story, but saying that Americans couldn't get over it, or that, oh, if this happened in another country, you know, we would have only heard about it for 5 minutes. You know, like there was a lot of there was a lot of resentment actually around the world. Not so much, more that they felt that the Americans were sort of milking it for everything they could get out of it.
Yeah,
or the mainstream media anyway. But those were people who believed the official story. Obviously, there were people who believed the official story who thought that America deserved it or whatever in some strange way. Even I think there were even some Americans who thought that actually, but just because of invading other countries and whatnot, I imagine that wouldn't have gone down very well in America if someone had said that. But that's a bit off track. So I realized about 3 years later in 2004 when I stumbled quite by accident upon a documentary, which I don't even really want to give the light of day, but it was called In Plain Sight, which was a documentary that, one of the first documentaries that questioned the official story, sort of like the, very similar to Loose Change, a very similar style of documentary. And obviously there were a lot of those types of documentaries that were released between 2004 and 2006. They did progressively get better, but they still built upon this narrative of 3,000 people dying. I stumbled upon that documentary purely by accident. I was just downloading 9/11 documentaries. And I just stumbled upon it by accident. And I would have been 15 at the time. That was 2004, so I would have been 15. So I was about 15 and a half when the first thing I really questioned. I don't recall ever hearing about the moon hoax before that.
Yeah.
My parents were into JFK.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I was a bit younger, and I don't think... Basically, JFK was just the killing of one person, and it was just the... So, like, I think... See, there's a lot of people who are into JFK and the moon hoax who are what I call one-issue guys, who that's all they're into. And that's quite a few people from my parents' generation who... And there's probably even people
that's
like
quite
that
a 9/11 few,
too. Like,
that's quite a few people now still, James.
Yeah. So who are one issue guys? But I'd never looked into any of those issues. It's not that I thought they were crazy. I just simply never looked into them. But yeah, so 9/11 was where it all started for me. Like I would imagine the vast majority of people back then. But it was a slow meandering process. And of course, because I live in New Zealand, it took a long time to wake up to the idea that the entire world's media was controlled, not just the American media, or not just, even to realize the media is controlled. Because you have to, just because you find out 9/11 is an inside job, doesn't mean you find out the media is complicit in it. And even if it is the media, you might think it's just the US media. So I remember, right, I used to write emails to like our television shows here, our current affairs type shows, like our equivalents of like 60 Minutes and shows like that, and try and get them to
call out the US media.
Not realizing that they were all under the same umbrella. And it probably wasn't until about 2007 or so that I realized, I watched a documentary that where they talked about how all the thousands of media outlets all around the world are owned by about four or five conglomerates.
Yeah.
And then you realize that you're wasting your breath. I actually had delusions of grandeur that they were going to put me on one of those shows if I became a prominent member of the New Zealand 9/11 truth movement.
Now when you look back at that, what a joke that is.
Yeah, and now looking back on it, I remember our co-host Justin used to say that there really is no 9/11 truth movement. It was contrived from day one. The best way to control the opposition is to lead it.
And he was right.
Best way to control the opposition is to lead it. And it was very deliberate. The 9/11 truth movement didn't come out straight away after 9/11. It took a few years. So I was already well versed in the official story of 9/11 by the time that I watched those first wave of videos, the in plain sights, the loose changes. So it took me about a year and a half of solid research. I'm talking like 4 or 5 hours a day.
Yeah.
To come to the conclusion that 9/11 was not what we were told it was. And that's the hard part. People always tell you, oh, they bring it up and say, oh, why do you think 9/11 was an inside job? Why would they do, you know? And it's like, I can't tell you in a minute or in 10 minutes. Or it took me a year and a half of research, 4 or 5 hours a day. And even then, that was just to get to the point that 9/11 was an inside
job.
That
was just a scratch the surface. That was just a scratch the surface.
But even then, still believing that 3,000 people died and there were planes and all the rest of it, I mean, that's just to get to that point. I mean, so, and we used to sort of think, oh, could we show someone one documentary or one, is there one smoking gun? But there's no shortcuts. It's just hours and hours and hours worth of research to come to that conclusion.
Yeah, it's really, really deep. So after, you know, you get into 9/11 for a while, and I know I came in a lot later, but I know at some point you, just as I did, and pretty much anybody else that's listening to this interview, I would hope they're at this point by now, but when did you realize that the alternative media couldn't be trusted at all, and characters like Alex Jones, David Icke, these types of guys, who did you follow, even if for a short time, and what gave it away to you that they were full of it?
Well, you know, I never really followed anybody, but it probably wasn't until about 2008, 2009, I started to realize that Alex Jones was not what he was supposed to be. But, I mean, I probably did follow Phil Jahan, to be fair. Roll for him.
Yeah.
But you see, all these, I mean, even Alex Jones would have moments where he said, oh, look, don't follow me, don't believe me. Do your own research, which is what we say, is what everybody says. And I guess the hard part for us too is if we're saying, look, everybody out there that you see on TV is controlled opposition, then people will say, well, how do we know you're not controlled opposition? You know, how far do you want to go?
Yeah.
I guess you can fall into that trap. But I finally reached a conclusion in about 2010, 2011 that pretty much anyone you see on TV is going to be controlled. Anyone they would put on CNN, anyone they would put on Fox.
It's true. Like, remember people used to look at Geraldo Rivera like he was this big truther on Fox News, and it's like such a joke, man.
Yeah, because he might have questioned Building 7 or something. Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, but eventually you realize that, and actually, funny enough, I started to realize, actually listening to our local talkback radio, I started to notice that even that was controlled, that any time someone would call up and talk about 9/11, that they would just be ridiculed and they would get cut off.
Yeah.
So I started to notice that it wasn't just the big media conglomerates that were all controlled, it was even local talkback radio, even down in New York.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to realize those companies, they're just like the bigger companies that are owned by five major corporations. Like, I know that when I did radio up in New Hampshire doing some of the Red Sox games and stuff, the station was owned by Entercom. And there's like two or three huge companies like that that own all these local radio stations and some, you know, big market ones and stuff. So I don't doubt that that station was like that over there. They probably don't own themselves. They're owned by a huge corporation that probably owns a bunch of stations, and they're totally controlled. And that's how they do it. They don't have to go, you know, everybody's controlled from the top. You know what I mean? It trickles down.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, then I first realized the world's media was all controlled probably around 2007, 2008. But the next step was finding out that the media is actually complicit.
Yeah.
So that not only do they structure things in a way where they will not question it, but that they're actually involved in the cover-up and the execution of the events themselves. And that was the final step. And you've always talked on your shows about they don't care whether you think that. Ideally, they want you to believe that 19 terrorists with box cutters caused 9/11, but they don't really care whether you believe it was 19 terrorists with box cutters, whether you believe that Bush knocked down the towers, whether you believe that it was Israel that did it. Well, they don't really care what you believe as long as you believe that the media didn't do it.
Exactly.
That, you know, there were 3,000 deaths.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I think it's very important, the whole no plane thing, as you know, because, okay, so if not only do you realize that, you know, the whole thing goes out the window once you realize there's no planes, but once you realize there's no planes, it takes you to two points, really. One of them lets the media off the hook, one doesn't. And that's why I had such an issue with Fetzer and his hologram nonsense that was backed up by absolute nothing. The planes, what we saw on TV, was CGI. And the reason it's important that it's CGI and not holograms is because if it's holograms, then that legitimizes all the media's video still, and you could just say it's Black Ops military that did it. The media was there, and they just did their job and filmed, and they thought what they saw was a real plane. Whereas if it's CGI on the video coming from the media, well, then obviously they're complicit, right?
Yeah, so it's like the media is legitimately covering. So that's like a way of saying that, yeah, there are no planes, but the media's still, their images are legitimate. I mean, he lost me when he tried to promote this Richard Hall study, and he said, oh, Richard Hall's analyzed all 52 amateur videos of Flight 175, and he confirmed that the trajectories are more or less consistent. I mean, that's a complete load of crap. The CBS dive bomber shot is certainly not consistent with the other shots. And
what do you mean? What's he mean, more or less? How can you say more or less? They either have to be consistent or not. There is no more or less. If it's more or less, that means they're not consistent. Really? Right?
Yeah.
There's no exactly. You can't have it. There's no in between.
Yeah, and then he insists the witnesses at the Pentagon are lying, but the witnesses, the eyewitnesses at the World Trade Center are bona fide, and it's like, well, you can't have it both ways, you know. And it that's kind of consistent with back in the day when No Planes was...
Yeah.
No Planes first came out. No Planes first came out around about 2006. And there's no doubt in my mind that there was a... Like, there were one or two other people like Nico Haupt and a couple of others, Ace Baker, who were around before that, like 02, 03, 04. But No Planes sort of first came out around 06, 07. But there's no doubt in my mind there were shills who were deliberately trying to ruin the idea.
Oh, of course.
And that's always the hypocrisy that I notice. I wasn't a no planer, but at the same time, I thought it was a bit hypocritical that it was perfectly okay to be a no planer for two out of four of the so called planes, as long as it was the Pentagon and Shanksville. I mean, everybody was a no planer. You know, it's a funny thing. Pretty much everyone was a no planer just for two out of the four. There were the very odd person who thought that the four crashes were legit, but it's just like, well, hang on a minute. Well, why is it okay to be a no planer for two out of the four?
It's absurd. You know,
that hypocrisy has always been there. But yeah, I would say I finally went to the dark side and became a no planer probably around 2010, I would say.
Yeah. 2010.
Well, once you realize the hollow towers, you sort of have to, it becomes obvious once you realize the extent of the fakery. But I guess the key point was realizing when you realize that fakery is starting to be used. Obviously you've got the moon hoax, but I mean, that's different because that's not a sort of a false flag type event.
Allegedly all the way up on the moon, not in the middle of the busiest city in the country. So yeah, you could basically do anything. It's super, super easy to pull that one off. You know what I mean? Compared to 9/11, I would think the moon hoax is simple. It is. It's simple.
Yeah.
That's sure. The thing about Alex Jones, I just wanted to say before we get off the topic and on to the next question. The way he had his agenda against No Planes, once I realized No Planes, which, as you know, was probably the exact same time as you. I mean, you know, obviously, 2010-ish, late 2010, I believe. Once I seen his agenda against it, it was very clear that there was something wrong with his character. Like, the way he would just ridicule people and attack them. He would call into other shows and just talk trash about No Planers, and he'd say, we have a mental illness and all this. The same type of stuff you hear with the other topics now today. But the No Planers was like, you know, that was the taboo thing. And the way Alex Jones would just go at it and at it. And then his goons that worked with him, like Jason Burmes and these other guys, they did the same thing and ridiculed people. And it was obvious to me that at that point, after that, he was controlled. And then I started looking more and more into him, and I have a playlist of over 60 videos exposing the guy. I mean, it's crazy. I don't think we need to get too deep into that now, because I think everybody's probably past that. But I just wanted to mention that the way he treated No Planes is what made me realize him and everybody else in the alternative media was pretty much phony.
Yeah, I can't pinpoint the exact time I realized Alex was a fraud, but certainly when the whole shit with Let's Roll forums and September Clues went down, and when I realized that, as you used to say, that Phil Jahan, who was someone I trusted for, you know, about 6 years, I was even a moderator at his forum, when I realized that the Alex Jones of the internet was controlled, and I knew that phony battle between Let's Roll and September Clues was staged, well, then I just knew at that point the penny dropped, so to speak. I just knew that everyone had to be controlled. Anybody they put on mainstream media, for sure. Because if I can't even call into a local talkback radio station and talk about it, then, you know, this isn't legit. You know, and I would say that was around 2009, 2010, I finally realized. And even down to those Loose Change guys and everything. And you go as far back as you want to go, and all those people that have just disappeared, like the people that did the in-plain sight, they've just disappeared. It's like, and you just know, and even for a while I still showed people Loose Change, and I might have even showed an Alex Jones video, even though I knew that he wasn't legit, just to try and wake people up, because I felt you couldn't.
Yeah. You can't start them with the stuff that we talk about that deep into 9/11. You got to just like any topics with 9/11, with flat Earth, with Mandela effect, with anything I look into, I have to start people off with the baby steps. I don't, you know, you can't. You'll just scare them right off. You know, you gotta start them out with okay. You know, like you gotta start them out with Building 7, C-3PO, and you know all these other things that are just so obvious. You know.
Well, it's funny, I just thought, because I remembered that you told me years ago, years before you actually were awake as such, that someone mentioned to you, someone said to you, Bush knocked down the towers or something, and you said, oh, you're crazy. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so even that, like, you, even then it's hard enough if you just start with the basics. Mind you, I mean, you said to me that you had a lot of success with starting with No Planes.
Yeah. I did.
So I guess it's different for everybody. But eventually I got to the point where I could no longer promote AJ. I refuse to even use their material. I refuse to show people Loose Change.
Yeah, I'm at a point where I'm like that with a lot of things. I won't show people, even if somebody has a good video. If I think that's going to lead people to that person's channel, and there's disinformation all up on there, I'm not sending them the link. You know?
Yeah, it just gets to that point where it's just I'd rather try and convince them myself than trying to show someone a documentary. That's actually kind of lazy when you think about it.
Yeah, it really is. You know, they want to have a conversation, go back and forth, maybe show them some things in between while you're talking to them.
Yeah, that's like a quick fix, like trying to show someone a smoking gun. It doesn't work that way, you know. As I said, it took me a year and a half of solid research, 5-6 hours a day, you know, even just to conclude that the official story of 9/11 was BS, not even knowing No Planes, not even knowing no victims or whatever. And I'm I'm someone who is open-minded as it is. If I'm dealing with someone who's not open-minded, I've got no chance.
I think you're being a little on the low side with the 5 or 6 hours a day, James. I mean, there were days that just me, you and Justin or whoever, we would sit there and be on Skype for 10 hours sometimes on one call. It was more than, full-time thing, man.
Yeah, but because I was 14, 15 when I realized 9/11 was bunk, I was at high school. So, I mean, I had hours of spare time. I didn't have a job. I dare say my grades suffered a little bit, but then again, we know the education system is bullshit as well. But
yeah, the less attention you pay at school, probably the better off you are.
Yeah, I would say so. But, but I was thinking, speaking of the fakery, though, because that's where I was the next step we were heading to was obviously realizing the fakery.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know when I looked at to be honest with you, the first time I looked at the moon hoax was probably when you and Justin did the show on it. I just never looked into it purely because it was just, I suspected that it probably was a hoax, but I never looked into it because it was sort of like, I know you dispute this, but when I sort of say that you don't do JFK or for a long time, we didn't really do JFK. I mean, when the Fetzer show, you didn't really want to do JFK, but I was sort of like that with the moon hoax. I didn't do the moon hoax. I don't know why, but didn't do it, you know.
My whole thing with the JFK is, I'll do it real quick, is not only, you know, getting into it after seeing 9/11 and all the layers of disinformation, obviously there's going to be 60 years of it with JFK or however long it's been. That's just rough math in my head. But, you know, we have Fetzer on, it's to talk about 9/11, and he's the supposed leader of, you know, the scholars for 9/11 truth, so he's supposed to be this, you know, bastion of truth for 9/11. And that he's supposed to be an expert on it, and we found out he wasn't so much of an expert as people perceive. But besides that, he's been researching JFK for 30 years, writing books on it and everything. He's not a stupid man, okay? He's been researching that for 30 years. So for him to change gears into it and go at JFK on me, it's kind of like railroading me. That's why I didn't really want to get into it with him, you know? Because obviously he knows a lot more about the topic than me, and I wasn't prepared for that topic. I wanted to talk 9/11. I don't care about JFK at that point. Now I do for other reasons, which maybe we'll touch on later. But, you know, that's just, you know, that's why I didn't really want to get into it. But I do know a little bit about it. But go ahead.
But yeah, and I was much the same with the moon hoax, I guess, was just my topic that I didn't really do. Just like for you, there was a perception you didn't really do JFK. But so yeah. I probably woke up to the moon hoax after you did, actually. But in regards to everything else, it's hard to pinpoint exactly when I realized fakery was being used, because I remembered some of those fake beheading videos they had in like mid-2000s. I did notice those at the time.
Those were really bad, man.
Yeah, and that's when I was into 9/11. I was already awake to 9/11, so I was looking at some fakery.
Well, it kind of all rolled in right after, James. Do you remember if 9/11 was 2010, right? We started looking at known planes. 2011, we were fully immersed in the Hall of Towers and everything else. And like later in 2011, they did the Gabby Giffords fake shooting. And then in 2012, that's when we did the Moon Hoax show. And then later in 2012, they did the Sandy Hook thing. And so it was just boom, 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 boom. It was all in those couple of years right there. And the ISIS beheadings were somewhere in that time, too. They were like 2011, 2012, I think. It was all right then. They shoved it down our throat all at once. Then the Batman shooting was shortly after.
Yeah, exactly. And even going back further than that, there were some high school shootings. Like Virginia Tech was in 2007.
Oh yeah,
and I thought that was real when it happened, though real, but like a false flag, but real people died, sort of thing. Whereas now, I guess you'd have to assume it was probably a hoax, just like I thought the beheading videos they did, the first wave of beheading videos they did from the Iraq War from like 2004 to 2007. I thought those were fake at the time, and I was awake to 9/11. So it's hard to pinpoint. I used to talk about this with Justin. It's hard to pinpoint exactly where the fakery started.
Oh, come on. Where do you think? All the way back. Before JFK.
Well,
the Titanic.
Yeah.
Even before that, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. But what I'm getting at is it's hard to know when the fakery started in terms of did they ever kill real people? I tend to think they did kill some real people during, say, like maybe going back to Columbine, maybe, or but even then it's hard to know. Was that when the fakery started? Or
I think once they have such a stranglehold on people with the media, they don't need to kill anybody. I think it's actually their last resort. I'm not saying they won't do it, but if they can do it without killing people, it's much less of a mess to clean up, as we've talked about many times.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's just hard. I guess it's hard. It's hard to pinpoint. 9/11 was full blown fakery. It's hard to pinpoint whether it started with a mishmash of both, or whether they just jumped in. All guns blazing. Whether they ever killed real people. And I mean, you know, still to this day, it's hard to get people who even looked at, say, JFK to say, well, you know, I remember the Fetzer show where we said, was JFK actually assassinated? And Fetzer lost his shit. and obviously to us, we think that
it's a very legitimate question. It's a very legitimate question. And matter of fact, you know, my stance at this point, and this is a fair stance, this is no, I'm not just saying everything is fake, but at this point, you got to admit, at least the burden of proof is on them to prove that these things happened. Because until they do, it's bullshit. Because it's been bullshit every time that I've looked into these things.
Oh, absolutely. And you were talking about that with Paul in the last interview, and I completely agree. My default stance is fakery until proven otherwise. And even if I'm wrong, can you really blame me? It's a perfectly reasonable position to take at this point. But I'll still research it, obviously. But you get tired of seeing the same tricks. Tricks of the trade every time. I guess it's just how far back do you go to your default position? Even going back all the way to the Titanic, do we think that fakery was involved in the Titanic? I mean, or do we think it was just false flag where they deliberately sunk a ship?
Yeah, I think it was probably. I think they probably sunk the other ship.
Yeah. But do you think anyone was on it?
No, that's what I'm saying. I think they sunk an empty ship, probably. But I know there's the other conspiracy idea that it was, you know, people that were going to oppose the Federal Reserve or aboard the ship, so they sunk the ship to kill those people, which is a legitimate theory. I just tend to think that they probably just faked a disaster.
Yeah, exactly. And my default position is definitely false flag for everything. And my default position these days, and certainly with any event since 9/11, and probably since Columbine, I would say, that it would be total fakery. But for me, it's just where does that default position, that second default position, how far back do you go with that? Do you go back to the World Wars? I mean, now, obviously, we all know people who fought in the World Wars, but do you go back to the World Wars and say, well, hey, was that small, isolated battles? Was that... You know, but then again, like as I said before, you go back to the Holocaust. I mean, you can go back and back and back and back and back. But I guess that, it's just about the default position.
We got to keep going back. But yeah, the same people are also been in charge of the world the whole time. So it's their modus operandi to do that. Then yeah, we're gonna keep going back, and you know, it keeps pointing back at the same people. Of course, that's what they're doing. That's what they've been doing for ages, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, well, changing gears a little bit here, I want to go to your timeline of topics a little bit. So we know you started with 9/11, okay? And I'm going to ask you maybe a quick question about each one, or maybe we'll just go through the list. After 9/11, what did you look at next? And I think we just mentioned a couple of these things. So what did you look at next? Like, we're going to go through maybe five or six of your biggest topics in the last several years that you like to research. What would you say was your next big one after 9/11? Fake shootings, NASA, you know, whatever. The things I look at now, like, I don't want to put answers out there for you, but, like, what do you like to look at?
Probably alternative health, vaccines. Nice. And Yeah, well, fake shootings again, although, well, it would have been shootings I was looking at, but I wouldn't have realized they were fake at the time. I realized Sandy Hook was fake at the time. But
yeah. Oh, that was very
other shootings. Other shootings, like, yeah, Virginia Tech is the one that first came to my mind. That was in 2007. I certainly remember researching that. My position at the time was that it was a false flag, but it was real. That the kid who did it must have been MK Ultra or something. But at that time, I still thought that there were planes on 9/11. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, well, it's a progression.
Or at least, was on the fence. So it's such a big progression.
Okay, so we can put that topic as mass shootings. Doesn't have to be, you know, fake, real. We'll just, you know, that was your interest, right? After 9/11, sure. Mass shootings.
Oh, and just generally, any of the events like 7/7, mm-hmm. like after the Madrid train bombings, because yep. I realized that if 9/11 was an inside job, then those things have got to be too. I mean, they're blaming the same group for them. And I remember, like, the Madrid train bombings, that was like 911 days after 9/11, and it's like, yeah, the numerology is all through it. 7/7, like, they're calling it 7/7, like 9/11, you know, like, I mean, 7/7 was really bad, like, the same kind of things with no CCTV footage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the average person in London's caught on CCTV camera hundreds of times. They could provide, like, one picture. The CCTV camera on the bus just happened to not be working that day. And it, you know, all the same stuff. So certainly it would be mass shootings and just other false flag events, just like 9/11. So, yeah, Madrid, 7/7, there was a train bombing in India, I think, 06. There were lots of those sorts of events. More of those than shootings, actually. Apart from Virginia Tech, I can't remember. Probably a couple of other shootings during that period. But, yeah, so after 9/11, it was false flag shootings and just other false flag events.
All right, and what about after that? Where did you go to next?
As I said, just alternative health stuff, vaccines. Well, realizing the banking system as well was all controlled, that, you know, the economics was a fraud. You know, Justin got me into that. We did some shows, Justin, and you did a couple of shows about alternative currencies and stuff. The interest was, you know, the Austrian economics is a fraud.
What made you realize the vaccines were a fraud? Because I think that's something maybe we should elaborate on for a couple minutes, because a lot of people take interest in that.
Well, it was a progression. I mean, just probably once I realized that they're making it so hard to not get vaccinated that, like, if they don't care about us and they're trying to kill us all with slow kill and whatnot, then why would, like, if the vaccines are actually good for us, they would be hard to get. You know, it's like when you find out about, you know, cannabis oil and all those things that they're trying to suppress, and it's like, well, if vaccines were really good for us, then they would be hard to get. You know, like, it's become almost impossible not to vaccinate your kids.
Oh, yeah, it sure is a pain in the ass.
That's once I realized that the medical establishment was all... Oh, and personally, like, I had some health issue with high blood pressure. I remember going to the doctor and I got the usual stuff from them, you know, I'll drink less, eat, you know, exercise more, lose weight, you know, and nothing works. And they don't tell you about stuff like apple cider vinegar that can lower your blood pressure naturally, and which I did that and it worked. And I'm like, well, so why aren't the doctors telling you about this stuff? Is that because someone makes money when they put people on pills?
Yeah, that's exactly
you
what
know,
it is.
I saw... I mean, my generation were the ADHD generation, you know, and I saw how many kids were getting put on Ritalin and you know, when I was growing up, and yeah, I was skeptical of that. It's just someone making a truckload of money out of that. The global warming was another one I looked into. You know, I mean, I've never really looked into it. I know it's crap. You know?
Well, what are your thoughts on NASA?
Well, now, obviously, I know NASA's completely controlled.
Yeah, I mean, now. What are your thoughts on NASA now, and what brought you to that point?
Well, as I said, I didn't really get to the moon hoax until I heard yours and Justin's show on it. So that was that was probably after that. My thoughts are exactly the same as yours, exactly the same as Paul's.
Well, why don't you tell people real quick, because not everybody is going to hear those interviews or have heard my thoughts. So for the people that are just listening to this interview, what are your thoughts on NASA and what they put out and, you know, kind of go from there?
Well, I don't trust anything NASA put out. I firmly believe the moon landing was a hoax. We didn't have the technology. We still don't. Obviously, now I'm skeptical of the moon itself and whether it is a physical object that could be landed on anyway. But even at that time, just the thing that got me about the moon hoax was that technology never goes backwards unless the moon landings are real. And I don't need to expand on that. You know, the cell phone you use now, is it better or worse than the one you used 15 years, you know? And the whole thing, they say, oh, they lost the master tapes. we haven't seen any high definition Blu-ray, you know, version of the moon landing, and they deliberately degraded the footage. It doesn't make sense. There's obvious contradictions in the NASA photography. That some show the Earth as being much larger and then smaller from different perspectives. There's obvious photoshopping in the cloud patterns and the blue marble photos. As you've alluded to, there's no satellites appear in the photographs, which is very, just doesn't make any sense. I just don't trust NASA. I don't trust any of those space agencies. Well, I mean, I'm sure NASA's not the only one, but the most prominent.
Yeah. Of course, it's all of them. They're all in on it together, of course.
Yeah. And the thing I like to say about the moon hoax is that it's protecting a much larger truth, in that if the moon landing was a hoax, which it is, the Russians would have exposed it in 5 minutes, right? They would have said, this is phony. But they went along with it, which proves that the whole Cold War was just a stage show. And it proves that the US and Russia are in cahoots, and they have been all along. And I think that's why they still to this day try and hide the moon hoax, because it hides a lot of bigger truths.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it does. So, where my progression went, and, after looking into NASA and then realizing satellites were fake and the ISS was fake, and then the questions on the shape of the Earth, and then realizing every picture we ever had from space is fake, and then you start to look at experiments that were done to prove the rotundity of the Earth or the rotation or the curvature or any of this, and it all falls flat on its face, and there is no proof of any of that. The things that we see in the sky wouldn't work on a globe, all this and that. I know that you have looked into these things as of late, and, within the last couple of years or whatever, last 3 years, whatever it's been. What's your opinion on that now, on the globe Earth versus the flat Earth discussion?
Well, I mean, I'm not an expert on it, but I don't believe the Earth is a globe. That's the position that I have at this point. I still wouldn't say 110% I think it's flat, but I certainly lean more that way. I don't like that. There's a lot of people ridicule. I've seen a lot of truthers ridicule flat Earth by saying that it's an idiot test, or it's something put out to make us look
like no planes. it's the same rhetoric.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, they said the same thing about no planes, which in and of itself doesn't prove anything. But I certainly would say that to people at the time. Of course, some of them would say, well, I think there were planes. and if they say that, then...
yeah.
but some... I mean, I've seen this before. This is, I guess, the ridiculing that Flat Earth is getting by so-called truthers. I've seen this before. I saw it with No Planes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, but...
And it's fine. You don't have to, because that word gets ridiculed. You don't have to put yourself under a label as a globe earther or a flat earther, but you do believe that NASA is completely lying to us and what they represent to us as the Earth is bogus, no matter what shape it might be or what type of realm we're in. They're clearly hiding the truth. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, yeah. And there's no real... That's the only reason why they would hoax the moon landing, really, at the end of the day. Or it's the only reason why they would try and cover it up. I definitely agree with the Antarctica stuff. I think it's that this so-called Antarctic treaty, and we can't get any countries in the world to honor any treaties, but that all these countries have honored this treaty, and that for all these years, and that even the countries that we're all told are supposedly the bad guys or whatever, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Like
that,
yeah.
That no one's tried to go down there and exploit the tremendous natural resources down there, the untapped. Like, it's just, that doesn't make sense. You know, we have the technology to go down there. Like, then they must be hiding something with Antarctica. Then that's, you know, that's something that the globe earthers can't really explain.
No, there's pretty much hundreds of things they can't explain. But, you know, that's a whole... This story about that could go on forever. So, for any of these topics, so people know, you know, we have covered all of these topics on our radio shows, and they're all on the Dose of Reality radio playlist that's on YouTube, where you can find this video. And if you're listening to this via our archive from therealnewsonline.com, just go to therealnewsonline.com. And go into the archive, and all our shows are there, listed in order, listed by date, listed for content and guests, so you know what you're getting into. And they're all downloadable, too, if you want to download the MP3. And these interviews will all be on their own playlist, as well as the Dose of Reality list on YouTube, the video series My Awakening. I just want to put a few more questions, James, because we're pretty much up on an hour. I don't want to go too far past that, because we could go forever. And we're going to do another show this weekend anyway, so we'll go on for hours on that. How has Awakening People gone for you as far as trying people in your personal life, family, friends? I know how it usually goes. You know, I get a couple people and everybody else pretty much shrugs it off. How's it go for you?
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. I mean, at this point, I've given up on trying to awaken people. It usually goes, I get people to a point where they're on the fence or where they're, you know, especially with the No Plane stuff, because I always try, you know, I try to show people those stupid photos of that jet engine in the street and that, under that scaffolding, and that like obvious fakery like that.
Yeah, Church and Murray.
That led, yeah, and I try and show them other stuff, like the photoshopped images on 9/11, the obvious photoshopped images.
Yeah.
And I get them to a point where they... You know, they sort of on the fence with it, or they even agree, but then they just, I don't talk to them, and then after a couple of months, they just go back to the thinking the old way. I don't know what you call it, cognitive dissonance or whatever those words they use are, but I don't have a lot of success. Most of the away people I know in my personal life, they already were by the time I met them, or they came to that conclusion some other way, but I've had very little success. I've had very little success with awakening anybody.
Well, okay, but you say you don't try to awaken people anymore, but that's just people but that would just pertain to people in your personal life, because you do radio shows with me all the time, and while for the most part I would say our shows aren't reaching people that aren't awake at all, it's going to be people that are semi-awake to wide awake, at least. I don't even like that term, but you're definitely contributing into further people's awakenings by doing the radio show, so I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, especially with the new YouTube audience, there's more chance that someone's going to stumble upon this material on YouTube than our website.
I still do it for years, still online,
online's easier because you don't know the people personally, and you know, the, yeah. But yeah, of course. I mean, but most of my activity's always been online. I've never had tremendous success with people in my personal life. Unfortunately, people in America make the mistake of thinking that people that live where I do, people that live where Paul lives, that people are more awake, or they hear more from their media.
Yeah.
About all this stuff, but they don't. Everybody all around the world is just as asleep as any. They're all sheep everywhere you go. Like it's
yeah, and everywhere you go, you're told that your country is free and the other people have it bad. So you think you're like up on this pedestal of freedom? You know what I mean? They certainly do that over here to us.
And people in America just think, oh, he lives in New Zealand. They must hear a lot more over there about how corrupt everything is. And I'm like, no, they're just as asleep as anywhere else. They with everything. You know, they're all taking their kids to get vaccinated. They're all, you know, it's the same thing. It's the same everywhere. You know, it's the same where Paul lives over in England. It's the same, you know, it's the same in every Western country. I can't speak for other countries, but yeah.
Yeah. So, we got about 4 minutes left. I want to wrap this up, keep it under an hour. So why did you decide to do this interview, like this format of interview?
Because I think we've got a new audience, since you got, you know, you took your 3 years off the radio and whatnot, and I did as well, obviously, because I don't have my own show. But we have a new audience now, and who are mainly into the Flat Earth and the Mandela, and they seem to have come into this whole thing in a different way, or maybe more spiritual type people. And I think that we've sort of tapped into a whole new audience with the YouTube channel and everything. And I think it's whereas people who were just listening on the website before probably had already heard all my shows anyway, dating all the way back. The first shows I did were in 2010, 2011 on the Last American Network when Phil Jahan first got that going, and then I started doing shows with you, some of which were my show, but produced it, then we all just pretty much started doing shows together. But yeah, we sort of have a slightly different audience now to the one that we had in 2011, 2012 when Justin and you were doing our shows. So I thought it's just something new, something, as I said, doing shows under an hour a bit foreign to me. But then again, I did half hour shows back on.
Yeah, like people say, but there are people that want this. There are people that want the short shows, and you know me, I can't do an hour show. When we're doing a show and we're getting deep into topics like we will this Saturday, we're never doing an hour show. People are lucky if we keep it under 3 hours, honestly. But these interviews, I want people to pick different names, see people they might like, or just to go through, and if you keep them short, they might click on multiple ones and just hear people's stories. I know that's what I do. I love to hear, especially teenagers. When teenagers do videos like these, there's been a lot of them doing Mandela Effect videos of teenagers. I love hearing their story. It's like really inspirational for me. And I've been leaving them comments and telling them how like proud of them we are. Like they're really smart kids. Like especially to realize something like that, we're having a long timeline of events in your life, makes it easier to see that something's happened. And these kids are only 14, 15. And then noticing things have changed just in the last couple of years that they've known them. So it's pretty wild. But yeah, that's why I want to do these interviews. We got like 2 minutes left, so I'm just going to – we'll close it out here. Is there anything else you want to say before we end it?
I wish that radio shows were more prevalent when I was 14, 15, because that's when I was getting into it. And yeah, for sure, it's great to hear how raw people are at that age, and they might not get all of it or the whole picture, but yeah, I was 14, 15 when I started researching 9/11 from the, you know, realized that 9/11 wasn't legit, but yeah, it's great to hear from teenagers, because there's so many negative stereotypes about younger people, but I enjoy hearing that too.
And the other good thing about these interviews is they're just a broad bunch of topics. So hopefully people in all different types of movements and whatever can resonate with it. But on that note, we'll close it out. So anybody that's listening, you can find us at therealnewsonline.com. And you can find these videos at my YouTube channel, Brian S. Stavely is the channel. And on that note, guys, we'll be signing off. You've been listening to the My Awakening interview with James Sloan, brought to you by TheRealNewsOnline.com.